these methods are very important in terms of understanding what a theory construction is, how you build one, what criteria it must meet. And I think that if we get that straight, although, you know, as I was thinking when I was coming here, that you can see more and more, well, maybe all this should go in this workshop and this and this and so on, that it's going to be very obvious the fallacies involved and the inadequacies in the readings available at all within the women's movement. And it'd be easy to pick apart the pattern in the last movement and the one in this, and maybe we'll get some answers of what to do, which I have not really been able to face by myself. I think one of the problems that I'm sensing right now, and thinking back of like workshops, seminars, whatever I was in, is that you have to do it. I mean, I have to get a sense. Do you understand? Or you disagree, and it has got to be a working thing, really. So maybe if even this early we talk about, like, what are you thinking? And just, it doesn't matter what. Just don't tell me I feel. That's the only thing I ask. Feelings are for after 9 o'clock, right? No feels. It's something you think. Doesn't matter if it's wrong. And, like, do it in not a spirit of winning or losing, but in, it's sort of like somebody says something, right? Like, maybe I'll put out a question. The discussion's there. And that's group property. The discussion is not on what you're wearing, or I don't like what you did yesterday to me. It's there. And that's all we're talking about. And what's happening there. And that in that sense, we're all participating and should be participating equally. That's why it's important, everybody. Clarify things within the movement. So I've been doing a lot of things half-assed, simply because there weren't other people. I used to be, I thought they weren't interested or didn't think it was important, but obviously they do. They'll wait around for you to do something. But most of those books, most of the stuff that's around to read, de Beauvoir's was certainly the best. Oh, crap. By crap, I mean they don't say anything that's going to change or even elucidate the class confrontation going on. It's like I'm talking about how I want to club my husband over the head with a frying pan in my dreams. We're still living together.
That was an escort.
Yeah. Well, same difference. But it's that, I mean, that stylistically I thought that piece was very good for that genre. It's just that it's totally irrelevant to political theory or action. Because what happens in your personal life or my personal life, it's some, you know, Flo Kennedy has this thing, oppressed people are very exploitative. It's some nerve to think my personal experiences are going to be relevant or necessarily political simply because I had them. and that unless they apply to the class of women, it's not political. And even that, you have to have in some kind of context. You've got to have some skeleton. I mean, I took the long way to find out, but like 4 years, you found, like, you've got to have, somehow this may be more important than that. Abortion may be more important because people are dying, for one thing, than desegregating the help wanted ads, where if you just look at what happened in the black movement, what they do is they just tell you, you can't have the job because you're a woman. That's really the reason. But what they tell you is you're just inferior. Now, this has some, pardon the word, psychological hazards to your own people. I mean, you've got to have, unless you have some understanding of the problem, first of all, you have to say what the problem is and say exactly what you think it is. And to test every letter of it, make certain it's your first premise. You better turn it upside down, melted it down, washed it off, done everything to it, and it better stand. Because everything else you deduct from that stands or falls on it. So what I was waiting for the tape for was that maybe it'd be good for people to talk about what's been put out there so far, that theory construction, or what they think of that question, what is the problem? Like, and now they said, we already know what the problem is. Everybody knows what the problem is. We're tired. Too many people talk. Status of women. That was Mission on Status of Women. Everybody knows what the problem is. Now we have to do something about it. And why don't we begin by people just sort of reacting to that and try to sort of everybody speak up or try to. If you can't, I mean, you know, absolutely don't. But and try to get people to get into a discussion.
I'm not too sure about what you mean. I know several times you mentioned something about feeling, and it was, you seem to think, is that right, that it has no place in this? I'm not too sure. I would think that you can't really do anything effectively without, you know, putting yourself into it. If you're not.
Well, how do you define feeling?
Well, I would define it as being part of what you're doing and not dissociating yourself from it in order to get it done. I don't see how you can do two things effectively. If you really believe in something, then you have feelings that back it up, and I don't see how you can put the feelings aside.
But how would you distinguish between thinking and feeling?
Well, I can... you can think about things that you might feel completely different about. Or you might feel one way about something, and you can persuade somebody else another way is different, is better. I'm not too sure about what you mean by...
This is very important because it's... I know that it took me a while. Yeah, it was actually Ernst Nagel, and I said, I just said it once, right? Well, I feel... So it was never really a discussion, and it took me a while to twist my mind around that, but feeling is an emotion that has a place, and one has a right to one's feelings. But thinking is something that you have to have reason. That is, it's something that can be objectively examined. Now, you're feeling right now about anything. There is no way that anybody can really challenge you ultimately. Like I can say you feel such and such, but you did 1, 2, 3, which seems to contradict it. So that one can raise questions. But there is no ultimate way to prove that what you say you feel, you don't feel. But thinking must be subject to proof. And thinking is very, or it seems to me, or I think, right, is necessary when you are engaging in activities that are going to affect many other people, many of whom are not even there, or even engaged in, say, the women's movement, which affects all women out there, for the most part badly, although people haven't checked on that. I mean, others have. So that feeling is something that, I mean, how do you think, let's put, how do you think your feelings are relevant to the truth?
Well, I can't stand up for something and say that this is how it should be unless I really feel that way. It doesn't matter how many arguments I can present that say this is how it should be. But if I'm not standing behind it, see, anybody can find some counter-argument.
Yes, but that's, if you understand argument theory construction, you will be able to check it out. So in fact, you must listen to every argument that it sounds even remotely reasonable and you haven't gone through 10 times just a minute before. But you can't find a counter-argument. In other words, when you build a theory, there is a very small, I don't think you can, my own criteria is extreme, that is, that any important counterexample knocks out your theory. But if you have two arguments of equal strength, you got nothing. That means that both are wrong.
They could both be right also.
You can't have something to be true and not true at the same time if you're dealing with any kind of concept of truth. In other words, okay, say two people without blue glasses on, right? Look at something and say, that looks dark brown. Now, if one person's colorblind, they can swear for 1 million years that that has no color. That's true in terms of their perception, but from the point of view of truth, there is such a thing as an objective truth. Now again, you can say, you know, there are degrees. In other words, there's an objective truth in terms of what we're all talking about. If you want to break it down in terms of how things are seen and what composes that color, dark brown, that's breaking it down still further. But there is a difference between what someone thinks they see, or perception, and reality to that degree.
Well, what I'm probably trying to say is, suppose you present your argument and it's true and nobody can doubt it. You know, you're right, you have a point there, but so what? You know, this is...
Well, I've been in that position often.
Well, this is what I mean. You know, you can be blue in the face with the truth and it's still not going to move people. I mean, there's some things people can tell me.
But that's a second problem. Like, say, for instance, that's a very big problem for me. Because I have come up with positions. Say, take abortion. Now, I grew up in Catholic schools. And I remember the first time I ever spoke, it was on abortion. And I was so terrified. And if there had been anybody else, the reason I got involved in abortion was nobody else would touch it. And everybody had agreed that it was important. And I thought, well, somebody has to do it. And 3 people had dropped out doing it, right? So I did it. But when I went up to speak, I literally blacked out. I was so terrified in front of the microphone. Well, I was determined the worst that can happen is I'm going to die, right? But then it's not going to hurt me. So I read it, and my voice was, it was just like that. Now, my feelings at that moment, I'd never had an abortion. But I had worked out what I believed was the truth. Now, when the vote was taken, I was in the bathroom. But I probably would have, at the best, abstained. But once the issue had come up, I had to sit down and figure out, it took me several days, what I thought. Once I figured out and checked out what seemed to me to be the truth, it had to be done. Now, my feeling was very strong. I didn't want to go near it, and how come somebody else couldn't do it? And it went on for years like that. How come all these women getting abortions, I help get abortions, they won't speak up on it. In fact, they don't even want to hear about the women's movement again. They want to get away from the experience, so on. That's feeling. But often I felt like I am not entitled to feeling. I mean, if I were just working on feeling, I wouldn't be here now. In terms of time, in terms of all sorts of problems that can arise and so on. But it's something that the only thing I see right now that has a possibility of improving situations. So there's a difference between an objective state of affairs that you must be prepared to lay out and defend, as the truth over any other, and it's got to hold up to any counter-arguments, because if there are substantial ones, you're wrong. Anything happens that surprises you, your theory's wrong. You have to adjust it, and you have to see how deep it goes. Otherwise, people make mistakes.
I think, too, that feelings, per se, are the cause of many empirical statements that are made. As an example, if I were going to make a statement on tape recorders and I were particularly nervous and this was my first introduction to a tape recorder, I would say empirically, all tape recorders are very bulky and they whir. And this would be as a result of my feeling rather than going out and checking out tape recorders. And I think that a lot of bad mistakes in this direction can be made.
Well, think of homosexuality. That's a good one, right? All homosexuals hang upside down from the pipes up there. Well, you know, it's an interesting. That's not true. Yeah, well, that's what I think somebody says, right? That's what I, and look at the psychiatrists, right? They're all making these very sick people, so on. Now, makes you mad, doesn't it? No?
Yes. No, somebody is completely out of their mind and they say something, that, you know,
but
if I'm
they,
hanging upside down.
They not only feel it, they think it. Now, when you go to denounce somebody who's saying that, you don't jump up. Well, actually, in some places, people do jump up and just say, I hate you.
Hi, Ann.
Just came home from painting.
I don't know what the arrangement is, but it's just difficult in terms of, I don't know who signed up and...
Ann did, and... Emily.
It was impossible for me to get you in your own...
No, I'm not getting into that. I'm just saying I don't know how it was set up and what to do.
Yeah. We pull up a chair. Pull up two chairs.
But we have all suffered very much over people I was going to say it isn't that they don't distinguish between thought and feeling. It's that until we learn the difference, their feelings substitute and are bought as thought, that is fact. To think is that you support it as fact and truth. And policies are made by it. That's why we've got all these laws around. I mean, they didn't say, we're going to put an evil law in the books. You really beat people. I guess I've read so many of these damn cases where they, there's one... It was a case, the first case we won in Pennsylvania, where it's mandatory that a woman receive the maximum penalty for any crime with no time off for good behavior. And a man, it can be like, you know, it's like 1 to 10 years, and it's, the judge can set it as he likes. And he can have time off for good behavior. So a man and a woman committed a robbery together. Man and the woman were both sentenced to 1.5 years. The judge was recalled on the woman's sentence and reminded this law, which exists in several states, that he was sentenced to her to 10 years, the maximum, no time off for good behavior. She filed a case through the Veterans Administration, because she had been a wife of something, the very beginning of the woman's life, after she'd served 8 years. Now, we won that case in the state Supreme Court, unfortunately, so it didn't knock it out in other states. But I was fascinated. I said, I want to read how they justified that. It was very interesting. The judge said, how did that argument come down? Everybody knows that it's a woman's nature to be good. That is, she does not break the law. The evidence for this is how few women do break the law. That's not too bad. He isn't asking too many questions, but I mean, it's not bad evidence, better than some of the people psychiatrists have, right? The natural thing for a woman is to be good. A woman is a person defined by sex. Now, if any woman should commit a crime, regardless of what it might seem to be, such as robbery and so forth, since she is defined by her sex, it is by definition a sex crime. Therefore, she must be a prostitute. And we must protect all the other good women of society from this evil woman as long as possible. He was just trying to help us out, see? Now that's why we got this workshop. Now, that looked like thought. It was much more respectable argument than most I've seen in the women's movement. And I'm sure that it represented the way the legislature thought and felt, most importantly felt, right? But it was not a sound theory. And we have to not only understand how to pick apart the opposition's theory, which is kindergarten stuff, what is much more important is to understand and learn how to build our own theory, to build our own maps, to figure out the strategy of the opposition from that, and then to develop our own tactics so maybe for once we got them on the run. Then we can ignore a lot of these scattered attacks that just have us running in circles when we're not hiding at home with our other 14 friends feeling. But I mean, it's, you know, I probably shouldn't make jokes because I have that, it's a bad habit actually. Because I don't mean it's funny, it's horrible. So feeling, first of all, only people doing any feeling in oppression are the oppressed. And feeling is a way of kind of adjusting to it, as far as how it operates politically. Well, that's, I probably can't without having the structure of the theory develop that. I better leave that aside. But the difference between feeling and thinking, and why thinking is very important for us, I think it's key, worth talking about, and spending most of the time tonight talking about, because now I remember that it was very important. It was very difficult to switch for me, even though you hear the words, you know, but if you really try to say what you think the difference is. Other people talk about what you think. The difference is, you personally, what do you think, as an individual putting out, working on that idea, what do you think the difference between feeling and thinking is?
But for me, I know that the little thinking I do comes directly from feelings. And you know, if the feelings are that strong, that encourages you to think about it. But I think it's very closely connected.
You're talking about the motivation, right? And that's true as far as one getting a clue or seeing something and wanting to check it out then. But the process, or let's say, there are many ways of getting at the distinction, there are many kinds of distinctions. The key one, I think, for us here is the distinction between subjectivity and objectivity and its relationship or significance to defining a problem. Let's say you have a mathematical problem, right? Now, it's true that you may, in your own universe of discourse, have seen several different things that gave you the idea, or the idea. But whether or not, say, Einstein's theory of relativity, but whether that idea can be defended and is substantiated is a different question. Where you got, how you came about or why you cared about it, right? I mean, like, I switched from aesthetics to political philosophy, certainly motivated by the feminist movement, because it was a big drag to have to make the switch. It cost me more time. So my motivation, my feeling that made me switch had to do with my personal life. But this in no way bears on the truth or falsity of what I have to say. That's one of, now that I think of it, one of the great fallacies involved in consciousness raising, is that if 15 people feel something and that they've had experiences in some way interpreted as similar, that this establishes that as especially as significant to women as a class, as an experience. Now, it's not linked up and built into a cause and effect relationship in terms of what's more or less significant. But would you want to say that, maybe this is the way, would you want to say that what you feel is related to what somebody else feels in terms of, do you think if you feel a certain thing, that means that somebody else feels it or can really understand it?
That because I feel it, that makes it like a valid feeling?
That's an interesting idea, valid feeling. No, I'm just trying to see, because that's really the fascination of it, to think, say, valid feeling. I never heard of that, but it's interesting, well, you know?
How do you work with several people read about what happened to Julia Richmond High School. You know, they would have similar feelings about it. I don't know if that's what you're referring to, that type of thing, but you can be pretty sure then that the next person will also feel horror.
But the question is, see, making these distinctions and seeing where they lead is what it's all about. Now, you say that we might all have a similar feeling to that there. That may be the case, but we would have to check it out. That is, we would all have to describe our feelings, and because of the nature of feeling, that is, that it cannot be checked out, you would probably have to establish a very special and strict criteria, right? For instance, nobody else could describe their feeling while anybody else was in the room because of the influence. So that you would have to be on top of it all the time, and the distinction of problems with each one of these things to check it out. Now, say, here's a good example, Rorschach test.
That still wouldn't make it true, because another 15 people might have completely different feelings.
Well, that's true, too. That's true. That's very true. But even in this case, the proof would be how many people say exactly the same thing in response to a Rorschach test. The point of the Rorschach test is you have this design that everybody looks at and everybody sees according to themselves, and that in no way relates to their truth, not to truth itself.
But okay, I think it's important that if enough people have the same feeling, then that leads you to examine why they would have those feelings. I think that's the importance of the consciousness raising group, is that it just brings up issues.
But why is it that it doesn't lead to the key word is examination. And that's the step that isn't made. In other words, we all do that. All philosophy comes out of, I don't know, an intuition, or like, say, in my own case, I've done a lot of political theory. I couldn't have done if I hadn't understood all that shit starting or felt that shit coming down. So that, but the point, the key point is that you feel something and then you go check it out. You examine it. But the only reason it should be of any importance, seems to me, politically, to somebody else is, if it then moves into thinking and a statement of fact. So, well, why don't you take an example of feeling something in a consciousness-raising group like?
Well, I've only been in one sort of at the very beginning, and, well, I think it was important that, it was quite a while ago, and people were really just getting started, and saying, people had pretty much the same feelings about things, and had always taken these feelings sort of for granted. They were because they were, and this is the way it had to be. And that was your own problem. When you see that many people have these feelings, then you can go ahead and find out what.
Well, meaning, what does that mean, isolated?
They felt that they had no contact with other people.
How do
except, you know, the husband or the man or whatever.
Well, what do you mean by contact?
That they weren't exchanging thoughts or ideas with anybody, except the person who was sort of dictating them to them.
Then you would have to move to instances. Like,
well,
because, yeah?
Like there were mostly married people who sat around listening to their husbands talking.
Well,
and
like,
that was okay.
But see, the same thing is, unless you examine the relationship itself, what's happened is that outside that relationship, people follow either consciousness raising without really examining and questioning the concept and its justification to political activity. So that, like these women with the Ayn Rand thing, it was wild. I mean, they were like, now I'm called a religious fanatic, but I mean, they really had class, you know, like 10 times, just, and they'd say, well, I'm interested in the rights of the individual. And you seem to want the state to take over everything. I said, well, what do you mean rights? Which individuals? How do you define this? And so on. Well, it was impossible. I mean, it was just like a granite wall. You couldn't, you know, they just kept saying a contradiction and they weren't going to move and they weren't going to don't ask any questions. So that women, I noticed, were taking, and then they said, but she's a woman. More is the pity. That they were relating to her and so glad to have somebody they could hide behind, just the way most women hide behind their husbands. And there is that participation. And that's what most people, and the damage conscious raising has done, is to say that in some way we don't have to change in a way that is going to be painful and could definitely lead to dying early, but I mean, what you got to lose? So that you say, listen to the husband or so, What you're saying, I hope you're saying, is they're not thinking for themselves. But are they thinking for themselves if what justifies a feeling as truth is the fact that other people are sharing something?
Well, it's a step toward thinking for yourself.
But how is that different in Khan from what's going on with the husband, where they nod or say, yeah, they really come to believe they think that? What does that have to do with fact? How much do you think political activity should be related to fact? I mean, maybe we should have begun there. How important do you think it is to know what the truth is? Using that as an example.
No, but I know, but I want to follow up on that example to clarify to myself. And then says all these things that she feels, you know, like, I feel oppressed, I feel like I'm the underdog, I feel like I'm kicked around, I feel like I'm made to feel like shit. And then she still continues to remain in that situation which makes her feel that way. And that's not using her thoughts and making not using her feelings, which she feels are true, and turning them into thoughts for herself. If I feel that I'm being oppressed, how does that affect me? And she goes on, and she goes through the whole thought process. But while she's going through the thought process, and even after she's come to some conclusions for herself, she's thought through some conclusions for herself, she still continues to be in that relationship.
You said it.
No, I'm asking you that question. Is that what you're talking about when you say she's not applying her facts, her truth?
No, I was taking it out of that context then, because it didn't seem to be getting too far. When you say that if a woman feels oppressed, so on, what about women? If I go and speak places, I get a lot of people who say, well, I don't feel oppressed. So what does this have to do with me? Some people, and even if I am, maybe I like it. But that's not the answer. The answer is oppression is a fact. That is irrelevant. How can you judge that? That's your feeling. Unless you can prove that it exists, that's just your feeling, which has no more relevance than hers.
But it's not just my feeling, because it's where I've been.
But that's not
the point.
Well, continue. What is the point?
Well, you're trying to establish that what these women are doing, who was talking about consciousness raising, is they're sort of falling into the same bag that they were in with their husband, because they're not relying on
they're not making the distinction between feeling and thought. Not,
they just feel a little more buttressed by a lot more feeling all around.
Right.
Okay. When you say that, what have you got to lose by dying? Yeah. Who are you referring to?
No, I was talking in that sense. I'll have to watch. That was good. That was talking about the way I feel and making a kind of joke, you know, that if things don't improve, that in the present condition, that one is not really alive very much anyway, so to die is not that much of a loss.
So that's your personal.
Right. That's my... And I will sometimes, if you like, construct a whole theory that will make this apply to the whole class of women. But no doubt very few women would feel that it was true. But the theory would have to establish it. And it's that, now it becomes clearer what you were saying about you had an argument and somebody else, though, has another argument. And so what difference does argument make? What you were talking about was somebody feels something is true, and then you have somebody else over here who feels something else is true, and who's to say? You're very right. It's irrelevant. But if you feel you're oppressed, or whatever you feel, say, you know, they say, if it feels, looks, and tastes like shit, believe it, right? At least check it out. So that certain things that have happened to me when I've checked it out, I found an awful lot of stuff. Maybe not just what I have felt, but usually an awful lot more shit. And then you have something. So when a woman tells me, like, I lay out the marriage laws, she says, well, what about all those happily married women? I'm happy. So then you can say, you have two choices. Either you're happy in spite of being married, which is dubious, or you're a congenital idiot. Because these conditions that I've outlined here are subhuman, but that's all right for you, or you're lying. I think a really good example of this that just came to me was, I was someplace a few days ago, and I've, you know, college people, it's sort of hard because they haven't often been through or hit certain kinds of shit, so sometimes I start by saying, how many women here plan to get married? Well, I'd say 98% raise their hand. Then I'd say, how many of you know the man you plan to marry? Well, maybe half of them raise their hands. Very interesting. You're going to get married, but you don't know to whom. Right? Then I say, how many of the men you plan to marry know you plan to marry them? About 5% the women raise their hands. Ah, okay. Let me tell you about the domestic relations laws. You run through that. You beat it all the way down. You hold up your charts, everything. Everything is, okay. Then you say, after an hour of this, how many of you still plan to get married? 98% raise their hand. So I say, okay. At least, how many of you are going to read the domestic relations laws? Not a one. Oh, I said, you're smarter than I thought. You know what's there. You're running for the prison gates. You don't even know who else is going to be in there. Now we have to say, what would you do if you did never get married? What life would you see for yourself? What are you running from? Because obviously you're nuts. I mean, here you are running for this prison. I mean, you don't even have the guy, and you don't, doesn't matter, any jerk will do, you know, just as certifiably male, whatever that is, you know. Now, that shows you, they have a very strong feeling they want to get married, period. And marriage is good, period. Now, I'm not saying I've changed their minds, but you have to, and when you lay that out, they still want to get married, so then you have to get behind that. But that shows you a difference between feeling and fact.
Doesn't that also show you that you presented a good argument and it didn't do any good? You could have just stood there and, you know, done the same thing, and you still would have had your 98% for weeks on end.
Yeah,
if you wanted to.
You could say that for Jesus Christ.
He no, but,
please.
You know,
I'm not getting from nothing.
No, to do something, to get something done, you can use this all you want, and you can present your arguments all you want, and it's still not going to do any good unless you change your tactics somehow.
But is the problem the argument, like abortion, right? No woman stood up at the beginning 4 years ago on abortion. This did not mean that my argument was wrong. But then you have a distinction between what the truth is, which is what you have to find first, and then how are you going to convince people of it? Which is second, in consciousness raising, you convince people of something or other, which then establishes the truth. Kind of ask backwards. That's what I meant. How come nobody said, what is consciousness raising as an idea? Because that's what would have come up. So the fact that I stood up there, I admit, it's very frustrating. But it turns out that I often get letters like several months later, and a lot happened. So you develop techniques like, I refuse to take questions and answers. I say, I don't want you to think that this question's over when the freak leaves town. This is about you. You talk to each other about it. I'm not going to talk to you about it. I told you what I thought. Now you talk about it. So then they spend 3 days trying to talk about what I meant, you know. But later you really see that it did dribble through. But there is a distinction between what somebody feels And many people feel something enough to kill for, but that still doesn't mean it's the truth simply because somebody's ready to kill for it. And if we're going to be responsible at all, which may in fact not be a good idea, that's another. Why do you want to be responsible? You should ask. I mean, these things, everything, examine, take apart. It's fun besides, you know, but take it, everything apart, develop that kind of faculty. I lost my idea. About if you're going to be responsible, the truth is important. And sometimes it might even someday be necessary to kill. But it will be done because it's unavoidable in terms of preventing the death of many, many people. But you better be pretty sure. And not thinking is not the way never to have to make that decision, because most killing